So the light that burns within is always there. It cannot be extinguished, for it is love, it is God, it is spirit. And I know right here and right now that that light is within everyone listening and everyone not listening, everyone not tuned into our specific service right now. Everyone on earth has that light within. Sometimes we block it, but we are taking down those walls today, opening to that light, that good, that presence, that divine spirit. I know that I am one with it, and I know everyone here is one with it. And so that means that I can create, for there is that light within me, which is the creative spirit, which God has placed there and which is God. And so I speak my word this morning about this light within each one of us, this light that is like the sun. Here comes the sun. And yet each ray is individual. Each ray is a point of goodness in our lives. Each ray is a perfect cell of the body, or a perfect thought, a perfect intention, a perfect desire, a perfect manifested desire. It could be abundance of money or easy relationship or any form of good, perfect health, and certainly joy. And so I know that these individualized rays of God are expanding in everyone's life here today. For it is the nature of God to expand, the nature of the universe to expand. I know that this good is expanding. And we call these goods, we call them blessings. So right here, right now, I bless everyone listening to this service that they hear exactly the right words, the right phrase or sentence or thought that brings them to a greater and more joyous good. I bless those who participate in this service, the musicians, Brent and Amy. Shawnee, who was our sound person and producer. The practitioners, Buffy and myself. And Reverend David, I bless his words, I bless his mind, I bless his open heart, that God may speak through him in ways that benefit everyone here, in ways that can be heard to bring people to their highest comfort, their highest good, their highest joy. And I'm so grateful for all of this. I am grateful, as Ernest Holmes says, that each day my word and your word become more powerful. I'm grateful for our teachings. I'm grateful for the manifestation of these words. And I take these words and I place them into the law of manifestation, the law of abundance, the law of creativity, the law of the universe, which always says yes. I place them with high faith and knowing and gratitude. I release them. I let them go. And together we say, and so it is.
So we're looking this whole month. We're looking this whole month at one journey, many paths. And so today we're going to look at the idea of one mind, infinite connections. And whenever I think of this, my favorite analogy, my favorite metaphor for this comes out of Hinduism. And it's the idea of Indra's net. And I'm going to share that for just a moment here. And this is a lovely illustration of Indra's net. And the idea of Indra's net is that all life is a web. And at the intersecting points of all of this web are these little crystals, these little jewels of consciousness, all the points of consciousness. You and I are jewels in this web of life. And that each jewel reflects in the other jewel. And each jewel receives the reflection of all the other jewels. Physicists today might call this the idea of the holistic universe. But long before we had that term and that idea, holographic universe, we have the idea of Indra's net. And we have, I realized, you know, I've often wondered, it's like, so if we're in this and we send out thoughts of love, why isn't everybody just immediately in love? And the answer is because as choosing individuals, as choosing points of consciousness, we can choose to accept or reject the reflection that's being sent to us. Each of us has at some point probably encountered a person who we try to give them love and they can't accept it. Or we've been the person who somebody is trying to give them love and we just can't accept it because we're too, our jewels, our diamonds, our gems are too fogged over with our own story of our own unworthiness. So we have the ability to accept or reject. We are all parts of this point of consciousness. And these points of consciousness, there's no form of life that's excluded from it. You know, as I was reading this week about the Latin word anima, which means soul, the essence of who we are, anima. And that word became animal in the English language. So there's no form of life. There's no form of life that's excluded from these this web of life, this holographic universe. We are all points of light, as the, both the song and Mary said, points of light from an infinite source. And instead of like light rays tend to dissipate the farther they get from the source, but we tend to become more focused instead of dissipated. And so it's almost like little spikes of light, if you will, or little lasers of light that we become more and more focused. So take a moment, take a breath for a moment and visualize yourself this way. Visualize yourself as a point of light emanating from an infinite source of light. Breathe that in for a moment. Another way we can think of this is that we are branches on a tree that is constantly growing, creating new buds as we grow. And our consciousness is out at the tip of the branch. And out of that tip, we all seem very separate. You know, I'm a different branch than that branch that's you know, over there. And yet we all come from the same source, the one source. And the tree itself is the life energy of the earth and of the cosmos, being the tree. We all come from that one energetic source. We can judge the tree and the branches. If we want to. Oh, this tree doesn't produce good fruit. You know, I have two pear trees in my backyard. I'm looking at them right now. And they're both lovely to look at. One produces these pears that look good and they're pretty tasty. I'm not a pear fan, but I've had a couple of people who've come over and picked the pears and they say that they're pretty good. And the other tree produces these pears that are blotchy and don't taste good, right? They don't look good. They don't taste good. And if your mind, by the way, just went to problem solving, you want to tell me how to fix that pear tree and what soil nutrients I should be putting in there, don't. That's not what this is about. So hold on to that thought. That's the intellect just wanting to spin out onto something else. Stay with this metaphor. Because I've noticed that the birds don't judge the pears like I do. They enjoy the fruits of both trees just as they land on all the branches without discrimination. They don't care what branch it is, which of the branches it is. So what does all this have to do with our topic? Like beams of light or branches, we are all, you and I are all connected to the same source. And yet as we extend out from that source into our individualized beingness, we can forget and start to think of ourselves as separate entities. Disconnected from each other, disconnected from the life source, we forget. We're like the branches of the pear trees. And I've noticed that the branches of the pear trees, I've watched them very carefully now for 4 years. They don't seem to say to each other, I've got a bigger and better pear than you do. I don't sense that and yes, if you caught that little innuendo there, you were right. I don't sense that the pear trees compare themselves with the nearby plum and fig trees. But we do that with each other. And that is the fruit, if you will, of the perception of separation developed by our controlling and comparing ego, which in its effort to control life, capital L life, our ego wants to control this vast, flowing, spacious, magnificent thing called life. And our ego thinks it can control it, make it work just for me, just the way I want it to work. This ego is constantly monitoring surrounding circumstances with kind of a hypervigilance to make sure it's safe by measuring itself against the other and its relationship to the other, which is not the same as its relationship with the other. We tend to see, how do I compare to the other, rather than how can I relate with you, with the other. Yesterday, I was leading a group in the spiritual practice of chanting. And I noticed as I was doing this, my mind started going off with thoughts of, am I doing it right? What do they think of the chant? And therefore, by extension, what do they think of me? And are they participating? Because if not, that means they're rejecting me. And so instead of focusing on spirit, which was the purpose of the chant, my ego was focused on me, and more me. Take a moment and breathe. Take a nice deep breath. Connect with your heart. And gently ask, where do I do something like this? Where do I forget the purpose of what I'm really doing and start worrying about what people around me are thinking about me or other things like that? What are the concerns of the ego that it is trying to satisfy? Just take a moment and contemplate that. Fortunately, when I was doing this, I caught myself pretty quickly. And I returned to chanting as my own spiritual practice within me, without caring what others were doing or thinking about me. And by the way, they all had said they had a great time with the chant. I didn't have to monitor the external circumstances to validate my own okayness. So ask yourself, where do you start to separate? Where do you start to compare? Perhaps in politics, religion, financial status, having a home, having a bigger or better home, or maybe having a smaller and more efficient home, having a car, a better car in some way, whatever way you define better. Perhaps we start to compare skin color or gender or the foods we eat. I have a couple of friends who are what I call militant macrobiotic vegans, that they live and eat a certain way and expect everybody else in the world should be doing that the same way. If these are some of the places where you create an experience of separation, just notice it first. Don't judge yourself. Don't judge yourself. That just creates a sense of separation within you, and you don't need that. That's not the way to heal. Just gently notice that your ego does this. See, the first step to let go of this is awareness, just simple awareness. Oh, there's where I'm judging. Oh, there's where I'm comparing. Oh, there's where I'm separating myself. See, almost all of us have been trained in separation and comparison consciousness. It's a default setting for the ego for most of us. And we can begin to reduce this just by noticing, just by being aware. One of my favorite Louise Hay quotes is, you can't clean your house if you can't see the dirt. And so it's just becoming aware. So take a moment again and breathe. Nice deep breath. Bring to mind a person from whom your ego wants to convince you that you are separate, that you and they have nothing in common. Just notice that. We all have that person or persons. And then breathe into your heart. Breathe into your heart, perhaps put your hand on your heart, and gently invite your heart, your inner wisdom, to show you your connection to that person. Perhaps ask your heart wisdom, show me my connection with this person. We are connected at some level. We came from the same source. There is only one life, one mind. Show me, where do we intersect? Where do we intersect? And perhaps it's just the awareness and a willingness to know that even if you can't see your connection, to just know that you and this other person share the same source, the same tree and the same earth, the same source of light and life. And you are both beams of that energy, points of consciousness from that same source that you share the net of Indra. Take a breath. When I teach the practice of forgiveness, I teach that forgiveness is only necessary because we have placed condemnation on a person or a situation. We've condemned it or them. This was famously illustrated by Jesus with the story of the woman who had been caught in adultery and everybody wanted to stone her to death. And when they all finally left, he looked at her and says, "Does no one else condemn you? Then neither do I condemn you." So notice with this person that your ego wants to convince you that you're totally separate from. Notice if there's a point or a place or a reason of condemnation. And now that you recognize that you and they are one, without condoning their behavior, because if they're off to, you know, out to lunch, they're out to lunch. Don't, you know, it's not denial of that. But it's not holding on to the condemnation. It's not closing off the heart energy. It's leaving your heart free. It's been said that holding on to resentment is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. So go to that place of commonality between the two of you, that source at the core of all life, and say, "Neither do I condemn you." Take a breath. And then simply send a blessing of love to this brother or this sister of the same source. Send this blessing without any intention of changing, fixing, healing them. You're just sending them love without attachment to outcome. This is unconditional love. Take a breath. As you're ready, gently return. G.K. Chesterton wrote, "A religion is not the church one goes to, but the cosmos one lives in." Religion is not the church one goes to, but the cosmos one lives in. Our religion is how we approach the world. It's our set of beliefs about the world or the universe. You know, I love the Dalai Lama's statement. You know, he could say, "I'm a Tibetan Buddhist," but instead he says, "My religion is kindness. My religion is kindness. This is how I approach the world. This is my cosmos. I live in a cosmos of love, and so I practice kindness." So is my religion, is your religion, binding or freeing yourself and others? Does it close down to a narrow little, my way is the right way and everybody else is wrong? Or does it open up and say, "No, I accept everyone. Like the birds of the air, I land on any branch of the tree and all are okay." Is my religion small or is it cosmic? Can I enjoy the infinite multiplicity of ways that this one infinite consciousness is showing up? My connection with all. Can I enjoy my connection with all and letting go of the judgment to the best I can? So breathe that in. This week, I'm going to invite us to do three spiritual practices. The first one is pay attention to what your mind is doing. Is your little separation-believing self running off in all directions as you go through your day? Just be aware without immediately trying to change it. No, don't get out your mallet and beat yourself up and judge yourself. Just observe. Just become aware. Oh, wow, look at that. I really do this. Awareness is often the first step and often enough of a step to begin to create real shift in our consciousness. So that's the first practice. Pay attention to what your mind is doing. And then secondly, spend time contemplating statements of deep truth. See, we start to create, when we start to remind ourselves, when we start to build, you might say, a library in our consciousness, an experience of deep truth, it starts to offset that separation consciousness that wants to run all over the place and compare. So spend time contemplating statements or readings of deep truth. Read something that reminds you of capital T truth, of capital R reality. Meditate on love. Listen to something that inspires you. Spend time contemplating. Build a new library, a new track in your mind, a new pathway of how you're going to be in the world. And then the third practice is, begin each morning this week. Imagine that you wake up, and as you wake up, there's a set of glasses on your nightstand. You put them on, and these glasses are special because they give you the sight to see past the separation, through the cloud of separation, and to the unity of consciousness within all, to the oneness within all. This is the namaste consciousness. The God in me sees the God in you. The presence within me perceives the presence within you. And imagine walking through your day with those glasses on. Imagine driving down the road. Imagine watching the news with those glasses on. Seeing that unity of consciousness. So are you willing to play with those three practices? We're going to pay attention to what our mind is doing. We're going to start to fill it with healthier stuff than we sometimes have been trained to. And we're going to imagine this set of glasses. Are we good with that? Great. I'm going to close with a quote from Jim Lockhart. And Jim Lockhart wrote a book called Creating the Beloved Community. And I love that term. It was actually coined in the very early 1900s. And then Martin Luther King Jr. made it extremely popular as he talked about creating the beloved community in the early 60s. Jim Lockhart says, the beloved community are people on a spiritual pathway who seek a closer relationship with God and who will take their spiritual awareness into the world to be examples of love and compassion in action. People on a spiritual pathway who seek a closer relationship with God. This is our source. I'm looking to my source. See, I myself can do nothing. I need to be connected with that source. And then I take that spiritual awareness. I don't just sit on it. I don't just sit on my meditation cushions and go om all day long. I take that spiritual awareness into the world to be an example of love and compassion in action. I invite you to do that. We have an affirmation to kind of anchor that with. And so say this with me. I embrace my connection with all the multiplicity of life living within a unity. And so it is. We let ourselves acknowledge that we have been filled up today with deep meditation, beautiful music, prayer, inspiration, connection, information. Our hearts, our souls hopefully are full. And what we are full of is the divine. whatever name we give it, it's that infinite presence that is beyond us, that is that source energy, that first cause, as Ernest Holmes used to call it. That. We are one of it. Because if that is all that there is not a single place that is outside of that. And so therefore we, every aspect of our lives, the stuff we like, the stuff we don't like, we all have our lists of, oh, I should lose this weight, or I should make this money, or I should be kinder to that family member. We got our list. The infinite doesn't care. It just loves as us, and it just loves on us. To paraphrase Jesus, the love falls over the heads of the just and the unjust alike. And so I speak my word that we let that love in this week more deeply, more fully than we ever have. We take off the barriers and let our ground of being be saturated with love. And then from that, we grow beautiful trees, beautiful fruit, beautiful love into this world. And I'm so grateful that as we open to this spirit, as we open to our own magnificence of who we truly are and let that shine, 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 that we bless ourselves, each other, and the world itself. I'm grateful for the blessings. I'm grateful for the light that each of us says yes to and is. And so I release this word into that consciousness, into that what we call the law, that process of manifestation. We don't have to force it to happen, make it happen. We just simply say yes and allow it to be. And the universe says yes right on back. And so we let it be because it is already so. This love already exists. We are just tapping into it and becoming more aware and more expressive of it. We let that be. And so it is.